The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we made it to the second half of the show. We thank you for coming along for the ride. Matt Corral, the Ole Miss quarterback, joined us last hour. We talked to Ross Dellinger about the NIL and some new rule changes. And we've had quite a few other topics as well, including Lewis Riddick from Monday Night Football previewing next Thursday night's draft. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Daryl, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Paul. How you doing today?
I'm well, buddy. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, buddy. You know a lot about sports, Paul. Have you ever coached a football team?
I was the head coach in the Alabama spring game. Does that count?
That counts, because you know, cause you seem to know a lot about sports. I mean, anybody can call you and ask you a question.
I was
about sports, and you remember it was back in the 30s.
And not that it matters, but we won the game in overtime, so I am officially 1-0 as a college head coach.
So that's good. That's real good. The reason I'm calling you, Paul, can you pick eight SEC teams this year will be eligible to play in a football game, a bowl game? Could you pick eight? I can pick five, but I can't seem to find the other three.
Well, I think it's – let's start with the obvious. Alabama.
Right. I picked Alabama.
I'm going to do it in alphabetical order, okay, because I've got the schedule in front of me. It would be easier that way. I'm going to say Alabama, okay. Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU. I think I've already got your number. Ole Miss. I think right now you got a chance for double digits. I don't think it's going to be difficult at all.
Answer a question for me. How in the world did Mississippi State get ranked number 6, number 7? I'd like to know that.
Well, they didn't. What you're talking about is the FPI. They were ranked 8th in that, and that's an indicator. That FPI predicted that Mississippi State would win 8 games.
Do you think they will?
No, I don't.
I don't either. And like I said, I don't believe they're getting a bowl game. They do, it surprised me. Didn't Kentucky beat Mississippi State last year in a football game?
Yeah, but Mississippi State's schedule is not that difficult. I think they can definitely get to a bowl game. I think a lot of SEC, frankly, I think there's only right now there's only two SEC schools I'm not really sure about. Mississippi State's schedule really comes down to the non-conference. They have to win all four of those games.
I bet you're thinking about it. I can't name another. It'd be Vanderbilt.
I don't see Vanderbilt getting in, and I'm going to hold my horses until I get a chance to study the schedule a little bit. But I think I frankly think Tennessee can get to a bowl game.
Yeah. You remember what team I guarantee that would win the national championship game then, don't you? Alabama's going to win it again. You watch and see. And I got a question for a friend, Jeff. If he wants to buy some cheap wood, these hill jacks down here has got these big old haulers. You just have to walk up. You can walk miles and miles, and the trees are so big and round. They're big as round as a Volkswagen.
Well, I don't know why he's so concerned about wood, because if homes are being sold, it's one thing if you buy a bunch of wood and there aren't any homes being sold, but you can't find a house right now in this country.
Well, that's true, too. I agree with you. But I'm saying if that guy wants to buy wood cheap, Lord, at the wood, you wouldn't believe how big and round these trees are down here. They're called hill jacks.
Well, and there's one other thing.
Out of the holler. Only time they come out of the holler is to get their monthly checks.
I hear. Hey, Daryl, thank you. And one other thing, I'm not a home builder, but I'm sure Jeff is a independent guy, which is great. But he's also dealing with the big conglomerates who I'm sure can get lumber slightly cheaper than Jeff, the Ohio State fan from Columbus. Let's continue with more calls, and Tom is up next. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, we're doing great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
I watch the show every day.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I really enjoy it. I played sports all my life. I played quarterback in high school, and I played tennis in college. And My grandson plays for Columbia High School in Huntsville, and my grandson plays T-ball, and my granddaughter is a brown belt in karate. And I coached sports all my life. I coached middle school sports for 6 years in football, and middle school sports 6 years for basketball. And I also coached youth sports. My question for you today is that, my brother's a fireman for the Huntsville Fire Department, and my brother-in-law was a retired state trooper. My question for you today is, how do you think Alabama's basketball team is going to do next year? And do you think we're going to keep our coach?
Tom, I think Alabama is a legitimate Final Four team next year. And, yes, I do think Alabama will keep Nate Oates. His contract was extended. When we spoke to him right around the time of the Sweet 16, he seemed committed to staying because he's got a pretty hefty buyout. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate your family lineage. That's quite a respectable group of people there. And thanks for sharing it. Let's move along and talk to Corey, who is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Corey.
How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Got a quick question. Well, question slash comment. So, it's a pretty known fact. If you don't do your job right, you lose it pretty quick. When you're talking about football, being a head coach, position coach, or even playing any type of position, right?
Correct.
I want you to, it's going to sound so horrible, but please explain to me, I have for the past 20 years, we've been listening to Mel Kiper get wrong picks about the NFL. Still coming on the show, talking about this year after year after year. And sometimes this guy don't even get the first pick right.
Well, there's an old adage. I think Beano Cook said it many, many years ago that the only professions you need to be hitting about 95% or 100 are air traffic controllers and heart surgeons, because the rest of us, and I, from meteorologists on down, don't get it right. But I agree with you. I get a big kick out of the draft every year, and all the experts were so smart that none of them thought Dak Prescott could play football.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I say this and I'll let you go. I played for two great coaches. I played for a guy named Smitty Grotter. He out of Alabama. I played for John Chavis. And one thing them two coaches would always do, when it comes to using your head, if you stuck your head in there, they'll pull you out of the game. They'll pull you out of practice. They'll never let you play. I hear a lot of people always talk about head-to-head. Head-to-head is just a quote. It's not.
Hey, Corey, let me ask you about – I didn't know Smitty, but I knew John. John Chavis at one time was the best defensive coordinator in the SEC. What made him so great?
Because the fundamentals with Coach Chavis, everything was broke down to the fundamentals. We didn't have to do the Oklahoma drill because we knew when we got to practice, he was going to break down tackling, positioning, and everything that we was going to need to do. When it comes to making that tackle or being in the right spot, we was going to cover that during the week through our film work, and we was going to go over repeatedly on the field. And Coach Chavis was not scared to apply pressure.
And that you played the game. That's what separates the great defensive coordinators. You have to be fearless, but you also have to know when not to say when.
Exactly. And like I said, if you wasn't doing it right, whether you weren't in the right position or if you was going in there using your head, but no matter how good of a player you was, he would sit you down. He taught you the best way to play football and the safest way to play football, but at the same time, the most aggressive way.
Who was the other coach you mentioned, Smitty? Where was he the coach?
Smitty Grotter. He was in Opelika, Alabama. We played for a guy named Coach Spence McCracken.
I knew Spence. He was a legendary coach. I didn't know Smitty, but that's you played for one of the all-time greats.
Smitty was I love them coaches. Can't say nothing negative about them. Chavis, so I was with Coach Fulmer. Like I said, with Smitty. I was with,
hey Corey, how did you get from Opelika to Knoxville?
Honestly, I was watching a Tennessee game, and Travis Henry dove over the top.
Oh, sure.
And he landed on his head, right? So it was a big ordeal. The crowd got quiet. And, it was like a big moment. I'm like, dang, this is crazy. But, you know, as they carted him off the field, the crowd went crazy. And that kind of gave me a little bit of a different feeling. I had been to all the other games. You know, I've been to Auburn, I've been to Alabama, I've been everywhere. But sitting at home just watching the fan base get behind him, you know, the support they gave him, I was like, God, if they ever came knocking on my door, I wouldn't hesitate to go.
Well, they could have used you at Auburn.
Yeah, well, I'm actually from Opelika, so if you know anything about Opelika and Auburn, I grew up an Alabama fan. You would never hear one.
That is interesting. Yeah, no, I know a little bit about that rivalry in that community. Well, I understand. Well, that's sounds like you made a good decision, Corey.
Yeah, man, I love your show, man. Y'all have a great day.
Corey, you be well. Played in the shadows of Jordan-Hare Stadium and goes up and plays at Neyland. Sounds like he had a good time. We appreciate it. We are going to talk to Barrett Salee in a couple of minutes. He's been to a few SEC campuses, including the one at Auburn. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And as we continue to work our way through the program, we've had a good one. Lewis Riddick from Monday Night Football, he'll be part of the NFL draft, joins us at the top of the show. Matt Corral, the Ole Miss quarterback, with us a few minutes ago. And now Barrett Salee joining us from CBS. Barrett, great to have you with us. We are another weekend of spring ball, and I'm curious, as you've watched as many of these games as you can consume, what has stood out so far for you? Is it business as usual, or are you more impressed or less impressed by some of the things you've seen?
Well, I tell you, Paul, I'm way more impressed with LSU than I thought I'd be. I kind of went into the spring thinking that they'd have a lot of the same issues that they had last year, maybe not to that extent, but a lot of the similar issues with the defense. And really, after watching that spring game, not to overreact to spring games, but I think it's probably time to overreact to a spring game because, you know, that offense looked a lot like Joe Brady. The defense looked a lot like Dave Aranda. It did not look confused like what happened last year with Bo Pelini at the helm. Durante Jones clearly has resonated with that group. They've got a great receiver in Kayshon Boutte, who's a lot like Jamar Chase. And the quarterback situation is as healthy as it can be. Miles Brennan was really good last year before he got hurt and looked fine in the spring game. So, you know, it's rare, Paul, that you go through and watch a spring game and think that both sides were successful because there's that old adage, well, the defense was great, the offense must be terrible. Well, there were bright spots for LSU on both sides, and I think that's a big, big deal for that team. And right now, I would say without question, LSU is Alabama's biggest threat in the West.
That's interesting, because the folks in College Station would take exception to that. So let me follow up with an A&M question. And, you know, there are some mysteries out there right now. Can you analyze them until some of these things have been clarified?
Yeah, not until they've been clarified, really. I mean, you know, obviously the defense is going to be fine. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that staff at Texas A&M has made that known and sort of put them in a place where, you know, even if there are roster changes, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And, yeah, they've got a great running back group. You know, Spiller and A-Chain are awesome. But the quarterback situation's unsettled. And until whoever wins that job can go out there and prove that he's, you know, a difference maker, I find it hard to trust them right this very instant, at least enough to say that they're the biggest threat in the West over LSU. So I like A&M. I think they'll be solid. I think that from a competitive standpoint, they're going to be right there in the West. But it looks to me like LSU is a more complete team, and that's granted. We haven't seen A&M play. So, you know, that might change on Saturday, but it wouldn't change the fact that I think that LSU is still a bigger threat.
Talking to Barrett Salee from CBS Sports, Barrett, I think we would acknowledge that Georgia is in pretty good shape. What was your sense coming from their camp?
My sense from really the last week leading up to the G-Day game is that they were fully comfortable with where their wide receivers are, and I think that played itself out and showed itself on Saturday. That's a complete football team. It's a complete football team. Yes, the Pickens injury is concerning, but really all they need to do is find a guy who can at least threaten to take the top off of defense. And they've got that. So I was a little, you know, before, let's back up. Before the spring, I was fully content in putting Georgia in my playoff. But when Pickens got hurt, I kind of stepped back and say, okay, well, that's not going to happen. That offense just suffered a massive loss. I'm more inclined to actually do that. Now, not to say that I will, but I wouldn't eliminate the possibility because of the Pickens injury. So I think they're fine offensively. JT Daniels is the best quarterback in the SEC. They've got the best running back room in the SEC, and we know what they can do defensively. So a lot to be excited about, especially considering it looks like the one massive question this spring, it can be answered. Not to say it has been already, but certainly can be answered.
Barrett, does the challenge come from Florida, or is there someone else lurking?
The challenge comes from Georgia itself. I don't think Florida has much of a chance at all. I think they're going to take a really significant step back. I think Kentucky is going to be definitely a thorn in the side of everybody like they have been lately. But really, I think the gap between Georgia and everybody else in the SEC East is about as big as the Grand Canyon. Georgia, to me, would have to have significant problems, multiple problems, to even be threatened. And look, Florida, nobody loves Dan Mullen more than Dan Mullen. And if he thinks he can just trot Emory Jones and three new receivers and another tight end out there and win the East again, he's got another thing coming. That's not going to happen. So I think that Florida's offense is going to be a major question mark. And I think in a division right now that includes a team like Georgia, which, according to the 24/7 team talent rankings, is the most talent in the country, then that's a big problem.
Dan Mullen just is calling on line six for Barrett. Barrett, wow. Let me ask you about some of the other teams in the East, because, you know, Kentucky looks like they're bouncing back. We haven't seen the Tennessee spring game. Fans are upbeat. A guy told me about an hour ago, I'm really sold on this Josh Heupel guy. It looks like we finally got it right. Never heard that one before. Have you, Tennessee?
No, never heard that before. It's amazing what you can glean. 14 practices, which only of, you know, what, four or five were full contact practices. It's amazing what you can get through that, even though you hadn't seen any of them, except one. I think they had an open practice. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm just fascinated to see what that offense looks like, right? I mean, Harrison Bailey, highly recruited kid, doesn't really run the same system or have the same skill set as Heupel's quarterbacks at UCF. Hendon Hooker does. We'll see what happens with Joe Milton when he gets there. I'm intrigued by it. They've had so much change in terms of quarterbacks and running backs and systems with Heupel. I want to know what it looks like. And I think we all know that Heupel's going to get a ton of time. The last thing Tennessee needs is to hit the reset button again. And with Danny White there, we know Heupel's going to get a ton of time. I just want to see what it looks like. They had the shutdown for COVID or delay a little bit. I don't think that necessarily hurt all that much, but I'm really excited to see what that offense looks like. I wouldn't say excited, just intrigued, because it's such a mystery right now.
Baird, you probably answered this question to a degree by what you said about Florida. So I'll say, other than the Gators, who are you most concerned about this season?
Oh, man, other than the Gators, I wasn't concerned about Mississippi State until the FBI came to number 8. And now I'm worried about Mississippi State fans because, honestly, Paul, I know there are only 7 teams in the SEC West. I still might rank Mississippi State 8 in the West, behind Alabama's second team, I guess. If the expectation is that in Starkville, let's take a step back a little bit. I don't think anybody really really expected a whole lot from Mississippi State. If I was really concerned about anybody else, I'd probably say Auburn. And that's not to say that Brian Harsin's going to be in a bad spot. I just think that without any wide receiver that really has any, reasonable snaps, and, with a rebuilding offensive line, it might take a couple years. I think strength and conditioning took a massive, massive hit under Gus Malzahn the last couple of years, and it's going to take more than a year for Harsin to build that back. And, look, that's not to say he won't get the job done. I just think that, any idea that this is going to be like a 2013 turnaround and suddenly Brian Harsin's going to be walking out in the national championship game this year, that's not going to happen. Give it time. Let the strength and conditioning folks work, and don't put too much pressure on Harsin in year one.
Barrett Salee just spitting out gobs of knowledge here. Barrett, thanks. We miss you. Come back very soon. We had a great time.
Thanks, Paul. Missed you too.
Wow. Barrett laying some serious conversation there. Barrett Salee joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to get some reaction to that. You Florida fans, what did you hear about when you heard what he said about the Gators and Dan Mullen? State fans, LSU fans feeling better. Barrett really laid out quite a bit there, and we are going to get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here Thursday afternoon. Glenn is in Florida, and you're on the air. How are you, Glenn?
Glenn, I talked to you last week about James Franklin.
Right.
And I want to know about – and Penn State. I want to know about – Florida State and how it compares to Penn State. Penn State was down. They came back. Florida State is down. Are they going to come back? And going forward, what do you see in comparison? Who's going to win a national championship first? Who's going to go to the playoff first? Just curious.
Glenn, that's an interesting question. I tend to think Florida State is back, and I think their path is pretty simple. It's same as it's always been, getting by Clemson. I think there's a time when they do that, a couple of years from now. But I think Norvell is the right coach for them. I'm not sold on Penn State getting to the playoffs. I think that Ohio State mountain may be too much to climb. I think Franklin is a good coach. I'm not convinced that he is a top 10 coach, which they may need. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Roy is up next in Tennessee. Roy, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're doing a great job. I'm originally from
Eastern North Carolina, NC State. I played baseball, no football, and what I wanted to talk to you about, fill you in, were you in Knoxville when Lane Kiffin was here?
No. I was in Knoxville long before that, but I remember it well.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing that bothered me about Lane Kiffin was the fact that he took the job as a jumping spot. He and all of his assistant coaches, not one of them, got a Tennessee driver's license.
I never heard that.
You know good and well that they had no intention of staying here very long.
Well, I don't know how long. Usually when you move someplace, you have 6 months to get a driver's license. So they were there more than a year.
Right. But I just that's always bothered me that none of them got a driver's license, and that word was circulated around. But anyhow, and I live in Maryville. You know well where that is.
Of course, sure.
Yeah, I've been here 30 years, and my work moved me back down here 30 years ago. So I'm enjoying East Tennessee and being in the foothills of the Smokies, but I'm optimistic about the football team, and I'm going to see how they do, and I'll be going to some games, but I'm cautiously optimistic about it, and I'll give them some time. I hope that they can come up with a team that will be respectable.
Roy, thank you. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And let's check in with Don, who is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Don.
How you doing?
I am great. Good to hear from you.
Good day to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was hearing rumors of that the NCAA may go defunct and that there's another organization that's waiting to take over.
And
the name of that organization is called CASCA, the Collegiate Athletic Sports Association. Have you heard anything about that?
Not a word.
Okay, and they're supposed to have some rule changes made to baseball, football, and basketball when they do come in. And I was just wondering if there was anything out there about that. I heard the rumors that the NCAA was having problems and that the organization wasn't being run right and all that. And I was just wondering if you've heard anything about that.
Well, Don, I must say, I have not heard that, and I think it's highly unlikely. That's just an opinion, but I'll trust that you have good information there. Let's check out Sean, who is also in Tennessee. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today? Always a pleasure to talk
to you.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess Barrett had run down about the Georgia. I was going to ask you about the spring game. What did you think about it? But he kind of gave you a pretty good summary of it. Do you agree with him as far as that goes, or you got a varied opinion?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think right now, and you know, we're talking April 22nd. I would put Georgia in my top four. Would rather not have to marry that, but as of today, they're definitely in there.
Would you say it's still, of course, Alabama until somebody knocks them off in the West, Georgia in the East. Who would be a dark horse, in your opinion, if you had to pick one?
Well, I think Kentucky has a chance to challenge. Now, I think Barrett painted a very dubious picture of Florida, so I'm going to pay more attention to that. But I definitely agree that Florida is not is going to be in for a different type of year than it's been.
Well, yeah, I think so, too. Always a pleasure again, and thank you for taking my call.
Sean,
and,
by the way, I think Tennessee has a chance to win some games this year. In spite of everything, their schedule, I think they can get to a bowl game, and what I mean by that is winning six games.
Well, yeah, I do, too. I think they can. I'm in agreement.
Okay, well, thank you for the call, and you take care of yourself, and we will talk again very, very soon. Let's move on to Tommy, who is in Florida. Hello, Tommy. You're on the air.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate you taking my call here. First time caller.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've lived in here in Florida the last 24 years. Work out at Disney. I'm a really Arkansas native all my life, 40 years there in eastern Arkansas. Go Hawks. How do you think Arkansas will match up? I saw a couple of days. I keep up with the internet. I watch your show a lot. I really enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's bad losing Michael Woods. He was a baller now. Maybe Trey Knox can step up. KJ Jefferson doesn't have a lot of experience there at quarterback, but he's supposed to have all kind of potential. I'm just hoping we're respectable. I don't know where you see us maybe ending up in that West this year. I know last year we kind of on an all SEC schedule. We won three games. I almost could have won four or five there, it's close. I just wondering where you think.
I agree. I think Arkansas is in very good shape, and we had a good chance to talk to Coach Pittman on Monday, and I see them challenging 5-6 wins. Maybe 7. I mean, it's so hard to tell because some of these games are just absolute pick-ems. And they're going to have to turn some games, especially the home game. I think they have a home game against Texas. Is it possible to get a win? Yeah, I think it is. Arkansas played extraordinarily well last year at times. Maybe the Ole Miss game. They should have beaten Auburn. I mean, that to this day, that game bothers me that Arkansas did not get the win. They should have gotten the win.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Paul, did you see where I think I saw today? I keep up with Hogs on the internet and
sure.
YouTube, all their articles being down here. That's the only way I can keep up with them. Hope to get back to Fayetteville this game. I hadn't been to Fayetteville since I was like 16 years old, back when we were in the Southwest Conference. Didn't get to a game then, but I love to see their campus and school. I always dreamed of going to play football at the University of Arkansas.
Well, I hope you can get back, Tommy, and you take care of yourself, and thanks for the call. How about, let's see, Tim is up next in Florida. Tim, you're on the air.
Hey there, Paul. I absolutely love your show. I'm actually from Canada. I'm a Gator season ticket holder.
And, thank you.
Listen to you as much as I can.
Wonderful.
I just want to check in about Barrett, and you wanted some Florida fans to talk about that. And, you talk about Georgia. They always have great recruiting classes, but the records don't always, kind of coexist or whatever with that. And Florida is probably the reverse. They're a little lower than planned, but they do really well. And I think Emory Jones is a quarterback. He's had a few years to get ready for things, and I think we'll have a good year.
Yeah, I thought Barrett was extremely tough on Florida. That's his opinion. The line that really stuck out is that nobody loves Dan Mullen more than Dan Mullen. I haven't heard any reaction to that, but that was quite a shot.
Well, if I had all the achievements that Dan Mullen did, I'd probably love myself a lot.
Yeah,
too.
The guy. I mean, Dan Mullen to me is a colorful, charismatic figure, and I remember sitting in his office 2 years ago with Dan Mullen and Steve Spurrier, and I didn't have enough courage to go ahead and just in front of Spurrier name him Steve Spurrier Jr. But he reminds me of Steve Spurrier because there already is a Steve Spurrier Jr. But I think there are many similarities between the two.
Well, I'll say if you think of the other quarterbacks that Florida was kind of talking to, Scott Frost, I think, and Chip Kelly and all, I believe then, easy to say now, but I believe then, I definitely do now, that we got the right one.
I agree. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Tim. We are heading to a break. A lot of reaction coming in on what Barrett said about A&M. Didn't show a lot of kindness to A&M or the Gators, but we are back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. Let's get to the calls. And Mac in Florida is up next. Hey, Mac.
Hi, Paul. I'm Mac, first-time caller.
Thank you
for accepting my call.
Sure.
I was just curious on the Florida Gator issue. I've been a Gator since 86 on Curran Bell and Emmett Smith and everything. And as far as Sale saying the things he said about Florida, I mean, has he been there actually to see any of their practices? I know they didn't have a spring game. I mean, and look what Mullen did with Pitts on Pitts' second year. I mean, he ended up being phenomenal. What would make him think that Florida wouldn't be that good? We know our offense is going to be a totally different look this year, of course, because we're not going to be a passing team. But what do you think?
And, well, I don't think, you know, my guess is he has not seen any practices. And when you look at the schedule, it's really not that challenging. Non-conference, Florida, Atlantic, South Florida, Samford and Florida State. Those are four wins. I mean, clearly Georgia and LSU, and I think the addition of Alabama is probably what he's thinking about. I would say the Gators are underdogs in all three games. Their conference games at Kentucky. I think that is a really problematic game if, you know, when you consider that Alabama and Tennessee have preceded that. So I understand where you could find four losses on the Gator schedule. I'm not sure I would go that far, but I'm guessing that's where Barrett is. But, hey, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Nice of you to be with us. Rick is up next.
Yeah, in a minute.
Hey, Rick, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is, yes, sir. This is Rex from Florida, and I'm an Alabama fan from back when I used to listen to them on the radio when I was a little guy.
Right.
And I've been a fan here for the last, well, however many years that is, and I wanted to find out why Matt Jones, our quarterback for Alabama, didn't run on up there with that Trevor Williams from Clemson. I think this is the first time in the history of Alabama that they've ever went undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, Rick, I mean, if you're talking about Matt Jones going first in the draft,
yes, sir.
I don't think anyone agrees with you on that. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is a transcendent quarterback. Well, I think he's one of the best quarterback prospects to come out in many, many years. And Mac Jones is very good, but you know what he did and what Alabama did has nothing to do with what NFL GMs and head coaches are looking at.
Oh, I see. Well, let's put it this way: how many times was he touched in all the games
Rick, that's not what they're looking at. I mean, they are trying to project, looking at an entire career, which Trevor Lawrence had a phenomenal career. This is not a criticism of Mac Jones, but I don't know anyone that evaluates players who thinks that Mac Jones ought to be ranked ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I think the fact he's going number three is a serious debate. But thanks for the call anyway. Ed is up next. Ed, go right ahead.
Thank you, Paul. Listen, I was calling about a previous call you had 3 or 4, 5 minutes ago to go. Clemson supporter.
Right.
Seems like they always talk about their two national championships, but they forget to mention that after the first one, they were put on probation for 2 years for illegal recruiting, for paying players, and then they served the 2 years, and right after they come off of that, they caught them doing the same thing again. Why they didn't get the death penalty, I don't know. But anyway, most fans, that's the way they are, and Mr. Dabo, he always thinks that the football gods owe him or something, I don't know. But the year that Brad Scott, his last year, and Lou Holtz's first year, Carolina won one ball game, I believe. They averaged 77,000 people a game. Clemson was slightly over 500 as far as wins. They averaged 50-something thousand games. They've talked and for, drive around with the flags flying and the sweatshirts on. But you let them lose, the flags come down, the sweatshirts go in the seated chest, and you don't hear them say a word.
Ed, I hate to run, but we're up against a break, but thank you, and I'm sure a lot of Clemson people were happy to hear that. We are heading to a break. We still have 1 hour to go. We'll talk a little bit about the draft, which will be just getting underway a week from now. We had Matt Corral joined us from Ole Miss, Lou Riddick from Monday Night Football, and we are back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.